At 8:46 on the clock, we'll call to order the Board of Supervisors meeting for December 21st, 2016. We will start by reciting the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Opens Meeting Act is posted on the east wall. Attendance by observation, Jurgens Hill, Bauman, Dorn, Byers, and Tiemann. The consent agenda. The general agenda, number two, approve the minutes of the meeting held December 7th, 2016. Approve all claims through December 21st, 2016 in the amount of $1,412,394.27, except claim number 161201117 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $314.25 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve specs and call for bids for concrete box culvert project number C-34. 1024 in parentheses, Beatrice West, East 5, Lincoln. Bids to be opened on January 18, 2017 at 9:30 a.m. Approve receiving and place on file letter from Dax Bertal, president of Gage County FOP 45, informing the county board they have contracted with a national FOP labor services to handle all labor-related issues and that all labor-related issues should be directed to Sam Christensen, the labor specialist assigned to Lodge 45. Any questions or comments?
I make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
A motion by Bauman and seconded by Byers to approve consent agenda as presented. No more questions. Vote. 6-0 in favor. Regular agenda. Approve or disapprove claim number 161201117 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $314.25, bringing total amount of claims approved through December 21st, 2016 to $1,412,708.52.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Hill, second by Bauman to approve, and this is a claim that Eric is one of Eric's companies. Vote. 5 in favor with Lytle absent and Tiemann abstaining. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. That's Paul. Yeah, that's Paul. Seeing none, we'll move on. Buildings and ground, winter lights. What? When we do law enforcement emergency management, we'll do have Paul in the that part of the committee. Yeah.
I think Dave Jones gave his report on basically the major things are what's happening at the sheriff's office and in that building and what we need as far as cameras and changing in the doors and the garage doors. And he'll be meeting, we've talked about meeting with the architects relative to the issues in that building and what we can and can't do or should do and trying to not spend any more money than we absolutely have to, but to comply. So Dave is working with the architect on what we absolutely need to do as far as those doors and some changes. And basically that's it. We still have a little bit of work going on here in the courthouse and the bathrooms and tile and what have you. But Dave is staying on top of it. We're very fortunate to have him. So I don't know, Gus, if you had any other comments relative to your building or...
Other than a call last night from the architect, and we're meeting with him Friday morning, and he wants to go over a few things before he continues on with it. So he's been plugging away on it, apparently the way it sounds. So,
okay, yep. Good. Thank you. Basically, that's all we have.
Equalization. I don't think anything there. Finance, insurance.
Oh. Not a whole lot, just paid a bunch of claims. You see it's a big number, about $1.4 million. About $780,000 of that are transfers from the general fund to other funds for operations. And Jurgens was excited. He thought we bought a piece of equipment, and I said, no, we're just transferring money.
Some of the larger sums. City Beatrice, quarterly EMS, $58,632. City of Wymore EMS, $10,127. Transfer, as Matt alluded to, $784,277. Butler, Gottler, and O'Brien, legal services, $14,280. Motorola, Sheriff's Radios, $29,950. Wolf, Snowden, and Hurd, Professional Services, $26,492.
Hold on, Terry. Was that for a new car or was that radios?
I think those were calendars.
Oh, man. Now the small part. A Sand and Gravel, $14,881, and Beatrice Concrete, Township Rock and Gravel, $28,645. Cypress Insurance, $42,970.
Well, I got one quick question for Galen, I guess. Are they still hauling sand or gravel or not? Or is that are they closed over there since it was so cold? Or?
Yeah, we haven't hauled any gravel for probably three, four weeks.
I figured
I would guess that's probably going to be, unless there's, that's probably old with till there's a rock or whatever, need rock or something thaws out or that. I'd say that, Matt, the rock and gravel expense is done for a while.
Rock, maybe not.
Not rock, probably.
Gravel. Maybe not rock,
for a while.
Yeah.
For a while.
And just.
The roads are in good shape.
They're going to thaw in the next couple of days. But I just want to make a couple. We don't spread as a county. We don't spread brine.
No,
we're just gravel. I've had some people ask. I think they were seeing the state trucks out and about on certain roads or whatever, and they thought they were asking about it. I said, no, we don't do that. We spread gravel on slick spots.
Salt also, though.
Mr. Lionel.
Okay. Anything else, finance? Human resources, employee relations.
Nothing.
I do have one to bring up there. We have maybe an appointment to Blue Rivers Area on Agency, and Don asked me, and we didn't put nothing on the agenda. In 2 weeks, I think we'll put something on the agenda to prove there's a... It's Blue Rivers...
Area Agency on aging.
Right. Yeah.
VR.
Got it. And we're checking on that issue you brought up. So,
yep.
Knock on wood.
But I think in 2 weeks we can approve it, and maybe somebody else flies in that meantime or wants.
Right. Right. So, but there is a position, one of four county positions out there, that one of them decided not to be back on again, and that term ended here January 1st. But hopefully at our next meeting we'll be able to have a name that we can approve.
Yep.
Okay. Law enforcement emergency management. We'll talk a little bit first, but Paul with Schaefer's here, and we didn't put him later on down here, but with the communication tower, we'll have him during this part here too. But go ahead, Gary, first, whatever you have.
As far as emergency management, there wasn't a whole lot discussed on Monday, and then as far as the sheriff's department, I'm having a brain lock right now. But I don't think Gus said much of anything Monday.
Except we had those cards. They're trying to decide those AVL cards, the needing them or not, or with the Verizon 4 that we will be capable of doing, and so on. They're still researching that to see exactly where we're at in that process, and as much as anything, paying for some of that maybe we don't need to have anymore. So, but they're still trying to solve that issue, right?
I just told the clerk's office to let know kind of what we agreed on Monday was
the $9,600 for the mobile data software. I'll take out this budget, then the basically $602 a month. Tim will continue on that one, supposed to be 4G, till the end of this budget year. Then I'll budget that in my budget and continue on.
Chief is trying to get a meeting set up with Verizon to make sure they cut the 3G off before we went to 4G, because I told him when he ordered it, just cancel the 3G, it wasn't working anyway, so just stop. That should have been done before they even got installed. So that's kind of where it's at. Another thing was the painting we talked about.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We did Northwest Cell 4-6 block. Just did that one only, so board can see what it's going to cost approximately. Some are larger, some are smaller, but it turned out really nice. They did we had inmates clean. So it was about 4 hours of labor for the company that did the painting. They primed it and did one coat pretty much everywhere, and I think one coat did a pretty good job. And, of course, like the staff now, I said, we're going to monitor it real close. When you check them in and out, you'll know who's going to do and what, and we'll kind of take corrective actions internally on that. But so it really brightened it up. We had just one color. I think it was an off-white or white. So, but he'll be getting I had the bill yesterday. There were some things I wanted to change. I didn't like the price necessarily, so he's going to work on that. And then I'll get it back over to Denny's group there and kind of go from there. So,
okay. And Matt learned about butter patties.
Yeah, butter patties and toilet wads, toilet paper
that
wads.
Was jail slang for something.
No, butter patties, you never heard that before?
I'm just giving you a hard time.
I know you are, like always.
I didn't think to ask you Monday. You said it was an off-white. Have we thought about using like a soft pink to make the guys softer on you over there?
Well, actually, the colors, when they built the place, it was lime green, orange, and yellow. That was supposed to be the soothing colors back then. As hard as keep up, trying to keep it halfway decent for them tearing things up, it's just going to be white. That we can pick up on things quicker. So,
I think David Jones told them to make it soft.
Yeah, it's a soft color. So, I reassured him it'll be.
Yeah, defense on that one allegation of escape that they didn't like the color you picked.
Yeah, well, that's too bad. That's just where it's going to be. And that is still a different color, so they'll have to live with it, you know.
Thanks, Gus.
Oh,
yeah.
Got me. I thought,
really?
I gave somebody an idea. Now, that'll show up in jail standards.
We forgot to. I told Paul there. Paul with Schaefer's down here. He sent me an email here explaining some of his thoughts on the tower out there, the diode tower. We forgot to put him later on here in the agenda, but since we did talk about that tower Monday, and you're part of what you were discussing, we'll have you come up now and give your thoughts or what, however you want to communicate about what you would like to say about that tower out there and about maybe a contract that...
Well, Myron, I don't know what to say. I scratched my head all day long yesterday and the day before. I didn't know how to prepare for this, really. I'd gotten a letter from Myron, I guess, on Thursday or Friday.
From the county. Yeah, not, yeah.
Could you identify yourself,
yeah,
please?
We need to know who you are and with what and all that.
My name is Paul. Last name is Babel, B-A-B-L. Schaefer Communications in Lincoln. Okay.
Thank you.
And you bet.
And explain a little bit the history, I guess. You own, you did in the email here and stuff, that you own the tower out there and that.
No, I did not.
No, you didn't
ever own the tower.
Yeah.
And I guess going back to April 1st of 1998, at that time Beatrice Cable TV owned the tower. And D&D at that time was wanting to move out of Beatrice, and they wanted to go to they wanted to spend more time in Omaha, and I ended up buying a repeater they had out there, as well as I bought out their lease, so they assigned it to me on April 1st of 1998. So I paid for all that, and then what we had was one antenna up on that tower, and then I had to pay Beatrice Cable TV a monthly fee to have that antenna up on the tower. And so I could see that there was more need. We had started working a little bit with the county. They had an antenna up here on the courthouse, and they were not able to cover the county at all. And so I could see a need for us to do something different out there. And they had no room. They would not let us add any more antennas to that tower at that point. And so I applied to the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, to see if they would allow us to put another antenna on the very top of that that tower out there, of which Beatrice Cable TV was okay with. And so, anyway, I applied to FAA, and they published it, I think, in the paper here for 3 weeks. In case anybody had a problem as far as the glide path into the airport and whatnot. We're only seven, it ends up only being about 7 feet above the top of the tower, 7 or 8 feet above the top of the tower. So it's not like it created a huge problem that way. But anyway, they did approve it, and at this time we hold the waiver for that antenna being on top of that tower. The nice thing about that antenna being up there where it is it it receives very well. There, the rest, it doesn't have any shadowing from any other part of the county. And so the way I always explain it, or try to explain it as an analogy, is that when you see that thing transmit, or when somebody pushes the button to transmit or make that repeater transmit, what it does is it gives off light. It's like non-visible light, but it's light. And so if it's down on the side of the tower, wherever that tower is located, it's going to create somewhat of a shadow off in that direction. And so having it on the top is the very best place it could be. And so at that point, we had two antennas. With more modern radio systems, we have an ability to create what's called a multicoupler, which is one antenna coming in, and then it splits the signal, and it goes to several repeaters. And then the other repeaters, when they transmit, they go into a combiner, and then they transmit up on the other antenna. So all the receive is on one antenna, all the transmits on another one. So that left us in a situation then where we were able to put the county highway department out there on that tower, and then they were able to receive an awful lot better and transmit, and pretty much throughout the whole county. Pretty much most of the county's covered, right? Okay. And so a tremendous improvement for them. So anyway, since 1998, because of the fact that there was no more room for antennas out there, Schaefer Communications, because we'd bought the lease, the county engineer, and any other users were kind of all thrown in one basket to work out all the details. There was no official written contract that I ever had. It was a gentleman's agreement, and that's the way we operated for since then. Okay. Then there was some discussion about how to make the sheriff system work better. And then somebody designed a system, and then they didn't bid on it. And I had a guy here that worked for me, or with us, Charlie Brown, and a lot of guys know Charlie from his contributions to the wireless industry. But we voted on the voting system at that time. Everybody, that's the way the county went, and then we were able to put a third rack in out there, and also put the Beatrice PD main and PD admin out there, so that as any one of these, whenever they were transmitting the sheriff from any one corner of the county, it would come into the system down there, and then no matter where it was, the cleanest signal would get retransmitted on PD main. PD main did the dispatching for the sheriff. Eventually, I think maybe to begin with they didn't, but eventually they did. And so anyway, that's how PD main and PD admin ended up out there on our combiner. Now, we bought the combiner so that it could be in, you know, so that they could transmit through our antenna. So everything out there was transmitting through our antenna. Okay. The voting system came in on the third antenna that the county had, or the city, or somebody had it. But that was the three antennas that were up there, okay? So, anyway, is there anybody has any questions on the history?
Well, I've got a question.
Yeah.
What's out there now that is being used by the county or any of the entities in Gage County that's yours?
That's ours. Okay. Well, the county engineer repeater is out there. I mean, it's not theirs. It's ours. But it's our frequency. And it receives on the very top antenna. And then it transmits through our transmit antenna, through our combiner. So they come through our multicoupler, out our combiner. We own it all, and we provided it. And so that's, does that answer your question?
Well, it does answer my question, but that's not what we were told previously, is it?
No.
That's being used currently right now?
Mm-hmm. No.
All right.
No, Bruce would have to answer that because some of these questions he brought up, I sent an email to Carla or whatever, talked to her, and it's already switched over, right? Bruce, I have to get up here, too, and explain.
We're no longer using county highway.
Could you identify yourself for the record, please?
Bruce Lang, Chief of Police, 911, Southeast 911 coordinator. Currently all the stuff that was on there is off. They've got a new frequency for the road department. It's not running through those antennas or the couplers anymore. So it hasn't for a period of time.
And those radios have all been reprogrammed?
All highway departments are reprogrammed under the new frequency.
And this has, does this have any effect on the fire departments?
No.
Nope.
No.
Okay.
So the fire department doesn't do anything. The fire department rescue squads don't do anything off that tower.
Yeah, all of that's.
That's through your
license, that,
right?
First Wireless. Has.
Right,
Chief. How long have the radio, or how long ago were the radios reprogrammed? Approximately, what's that?
Approximately.
Oh, approximately.
Yeah, it's been the last 6 months. Ownership of the tower and all that. Yeah, they're not using it now. They got a new.
So I can go shut that repeater off, and nobody's going to know.
Nobody's going. It's not going to affect anybody.
Yep. So any other, is there any other questions about the history that's gone on? I mean, I had no. Did anybody else have any knowledge that that happened?
Yes, we knew that when we worked with First Wireless when they took up ownership of the tower, and when they did some checking and found we had some bad antennas and wires and so forth, and they redid all that, and so. We switched all that over. I'm thinking it's been the last 6 months, somewhere around there. I don't know the exact date.
It sounds like maybe you haven't had the communication from either First Wireless or somebody as to that effect.
Well, I did not know that they reprogrammed the radios. If they did, I was thinking it was just more recently that that happened, based upon some conversations that I've had.
Well, it's been, I don't know the exact date. It's been. When we sent the email and asked First Wireless, said, yeah, that's already been done, and Highway Department's already reprogrammed onto the new frequency.
Yeah, I can't tell you either exactly. Carla sent me back an email that
she'd
visited with Doug, and I can't remember what the our radios have all been reprogrammed. That's what Doug said.
Yeah, onto a new frequency, right?
So they kept the same Gage County Highway Department insignia in the radio, and
I don't know what the insignia, but First Wireless obtained a new license and they're on different frequency.
Yeah, they
for a different frequency for the Highway Department.
Okay.
With that in mind, does that change anything for you?
Well, I don't. I need to make sure that it's all done so that they have communications.
And we want that.
I didn't know this when I come down, and I talked with supervisor, I don't know who all it was, but about, that I was going to, they were raising my rate. I didn't even know when I came down here, Myron, that was what it was going to be.
We were down here approximately 2 months ago, 2-3 months ago.
Yeah.
Sometime in there, we were trying to decipher all of this too at that time.
Yeah, and see, I had no idea that maybe you guys were considering something else at that point.
And at that point, I don't think we were either.
You don't think we were?
We found out later that a lot of these things could be done or whatever, and that was the direction that, with us working with Communication Center and so on, that it worked out better to go.
Yeah. Okay.
Because when you were down here the other time at that meeting, we as a board were really in the dark about what all was going on out there. We didn't understand it either. And at that time, we weren't aware of the possibilities of even doing some of this other stuff.
Or what we needed, I think.
Or what we needed. We were
the problem. We thought we needed things that we as a collective body don't understand the communications industry, the ins and outs. And we were under the assumption we were using things that we needed that were necessary. And then I assume through Carl is where we got most of our information, or the communications director. We started sorting out what we need, what we don't need, what's working, what's not.
Yeah, I wasn't advised of anything like that. So I had, you know, and it was a gentleman's agreement. I understand that, you know. I was just hoping to keep the county engineer. I know that the city, I come down once and my system wasn't working and it was all unplugged from the city's rack and it was moved and so I understand that was their, you know, that was the understanding to begin with. They owned that rack and they could do that, but I was just kind of shocked that it was just gone, you know. But that was a whole different thing, and I don't understand yet how the county is involved with what the city is doing. And maybe it's not up to me, you know. I would just have liked to have, since I signed that agreement, you know, and nobody told me or offered any information, I thought in the spirit of, you know, the agreement that it would have been nice that I know that. And so, anyway. Is there any other questions, I guess?
Well, just a comment, if I may, is that, you know, we've spoken about communications for years, if not months now, in public meetings ad nauseum to the anxiety and angst of probably many board members. We have a contract with the city for communications, and so with all of the different vendors involved, and, you know, we get into this kind of this, pardon the pun here, about playing telephone, and the message always gets turned around. It seemed to make a lot of sense based on their advisement to streamline that and have a smaller service. Now, we did search diligently for any sort of contractual agreement that we didn't have with you, but we rely heavily on the experts in communications to provide us the information that we need to make our decisions. And so what it made sense to us is to streamline the process. We are, as a county, contractually, I won't say bound, but in an agreement with the city of Beatrice to do the communication. So that's really where I guess the communication really should take place with them, because we're contracted with them, not with you. And so it's unfortunate that you weren't put in the loop on some of these things, but and you're not alleging that, but I'm saying that we've talked about this a lot. And I think we've finally gotten to a point where we may just barely understand it, but I think things are working and we're going in the right direction. Those are just my comments.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Matt. Any other questions? Good. Okay. All right. So.
Thank you for coming.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yep.
Okay.
Anything else for law enforcement emergency manager? Road and bridge.
Approve specs and call for bids on a concrete box culvert on East 5 Lincoln Township. Manelli estimated $314,000 approximately. We have budgeted $200,000. So we'll see where that goes. Galen visited with Paul Keefe over NRD funding with the flood damage quite a while back. Said hopefully we'll approve around $183,000 for Gage County.
Okay. Not NRD, Nebraska Department of Roads, wasn't it?
NDOR.
NDOR, yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, maybe I wrote it wrong.
No, you didn't. I don't have my glasses.
Oh, I thought you did.
Diamond wouldn't give me his. Anyway. $182,000. Gage County submitted for claims for that. Expect maybe mid-January for the funding. Galen also checked with FEMA about some funding. Gage County is still due $128,000 from FEMA and $55,000 from the state for their matching share. That's basically the most important stuff I got.
Well, we did have a discussion about lowering the speed limit on the blacktop to 35 miles an hour.
Yeah, we did it.
Did you say 25?
25, yeah.
We were looking at lowering the weight limit as well. Narrowing that road up, it's so daggum wide.
But Terry was pretty sure he wouldn't have a route to get to Beatrice otherwise if we did that. So.
I can take gravel roads.
You can take gravel roads. No, and we will have, you know, part of the discussion on that Culver project was that Galen did budget $200,000 in his budget for that project, and the estimates have come in higher. So we realize that, and we'll see where the bids come in at, and see how we, like Terry said, see how we proceed from there. Because if we make some adjustments, and or if there's some other lines in Galen's budgets that we can maybe transfer or whatever, so we will have discussion on that as we go forward, knowing what our budget situation is. So, anything else, Road and Bridge? Next up on the agenda, approve or disapprove Gage County Tourism Advisory Committee term appointment plan.
Don't need a pen after Road and Bridge is done?
No, I'm done.
I think.
I would assume Lisa and.
I think she just brought it up and asked her.
Okay. Do we need to read those into the record, Mr. Chairman?
Okay.
I'm asking. Should we?
Probably should.
I think we should if I find my here.
Okay.
I got her. Yep.
Here it is.
Okay. Lisa did send up to Don so that we could enter into record, I guess, these appointments. And these are reappointment in January, the following terms. Roger Hendricks would be a two-year term ending in 2019. Glennis McClure would be a two-year term ending in 2019. And Robin Stanilchek would be a two-year term ending in 2019. Then Harriet Beningen would be a four-year term ending in 2021. Mark Engler would be a four-year term ending in 2021. Lorraine Riedesel would be a four-year term ending in 2021. And Troy Stevens would be a four-year term ending in 2021. The lodging representative, and part of what the tourism is, by state statutes, they need to have certain lodging representatives on there, and those would be Robin Stanilchek and Troy Stevens. Our ex-officio member is Gary Lido, the Gage County Supervisor Representative. Terms are to expire in June, so new members come on in July, which would be when the fiscal year starts. And I think she sent this up as much as anything so that everybody, we have this in record, on record here, and it's not, I don't know if it's been maybe done all the time otherwise, but this way our board can have that and have this in the record.
I'd make a motion to approve the appointments as read by the chairman.
Second.
So motion by Bauman and seconded by Lytle. Vote.
Gary.
7-0 in favor. Brian. And most of these are on there. Well, not most of them. They are on that board. But this is more just for clarification than anything. And then that I know when way back when I was on that board a little bit as the county board representative, wasn't always sure whose term was when or what. And this outlines that and puts it into record now so that they, down there, those people too know that. Approve or disapprove 2017 Community-Based Juvenile Services Aid Grant and have chairman sign. And
the motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Bauman and seconded by Lytle.
Gary.
It's that time of year again, I see.
Yes. A little bit earlier in the last year. I'm Christina Lyons, Director of Gage County Maps and Juvenile Services in Gage County, and it is that time of year again. You'll see on page 4 the different programs that I am requesting money for this year. This is a fiscal year grant, so it won't start till July 1st, but we are in Gage County allotted $71,326 with a match of, I believe,
10%,
79.26. And that, again, just as a reminder, is money that is already spent in our county. I use guardian ad litem attorney fees for in our juvenile court.
It's so those are like in-kind funds. Those right. aren't additional dollars.
Right. You are no way obligated for any additional monies for this grant. The programs that I ask for funding for is, again, juvenile diversion, $15,000, the coalition prevention. That's work that I do with prevention of high-risk behaviors, substance abuse, positive youth development, mentoring programs, that type of thing. We have a truancy program. Right now, our truancy program is just in Beatrice Public Schools, but with the student staff advocate program, we are serving 78 kids right now. And that's just matching staff with students, checking in with them every morning, having a positive relationship in the school. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, to improve that attendance. And so we are just now, within January, adding a family advocate position, which will work with families in their homes with the kids who are missing school and trying to help them figure out why and what we can do to solve that problem. The tracker drug testing, that is alternatives to detention, working with probation, also working with some of my juvenile diversion kids who just aren't making it and for different reasons. And so we offer that. It's a contract with Better Living that probation had already had, and they do some one-on-ones with them. It's been pretty effective so far. And then I just have $1,225 in there for travel, professional development. It's to go to the Juvenile Justice Conference in Kearney in May. And that's it. Do you have any questions?
I presume you work closely with Child Protective Services and Region 5 Systems. And okay, good.
I do. Region 5 is Systems. The Prevention Grant is another grant that I work with. I think our county has around $17,000 that I wrote for this year, and I always do the mini grants as well. Child Protective Services comes to this meeting. I go to some of theirs. Treatment team, we are trying to work together and solve the problems of the world.
Well, as a representative of the board on the Region 5 Systems Board, I see that budget come through every year, and I just want to confirm that what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
How about foster care? There's an awful lot of information on foster care now.
I don't work a lot with foster care, but I did just go to a training in October that was specifically designed. It was called Youth Thrive, and it was specifically designed for kids, working with kids and families who do foster care. I think we can use it for our entire population, though. I don't think that it's just for foster care, and I think we'll see a lot more of that type of thing come through later on. It was a really good training. I also work with law enforcement, both the Gage County Sheriff's Department and the Beatrice Police Department, with the compliance checks and pharmaceutical take back and whatever else we can dream up.
Are your numbers going up in the, as far as kids having issues, or down, or staying the same?
Some of both. I see less kids in my diversion program, less juveniles, but I don't know if that's because they're just not choosing to go to diversion and would just rather be lazy and go to court, and or if they are or if we're doing better at this. I'm not sure. We're seeing more kids in our truancy program than what we have.
That was my next question, is how do you interact with the school to try to, is there any connection between the school and yourselves to try to eliminate these problems?
My job or my paycheck, it actually comes out of Beatrice Public Schools, and so I work really closely with our superintendent and director of curriculum, Jackie Nielsen, and try to figure this out. We're doing some stuff with social-emotional learning, and I was just in Saline County yesterday. I write their grant and work on their information as well, and they have a bunch of programs that I was not familiar with that sound really interesting, so we'll see if that's something that we can utilize in our schools.
And their mentoring program is tremendous also. Mm-hmm. They have wonderful volunteers from the community, and that is, I know it's very effective with these young people.
Mm-hmm. Right now in our teammates mentoring program, we have about 33 kids. I know there's a lot more than that we can serve. We have 12 kids on our waiting list, all males. So if any of you gentlemen would like to become a teammate mentor, I can set you up. Matt, did you have a question?
Just a comment. With the two kids that are in high school, I'll just say that there is an enormous amount of things that kids deal with. And when you listen to your kids, they talk about their fellow classmates. There are so many things that go on in the lives of juveniles and youths that we have no idea. I'm surprised your program isn't twice as big. And when you really pay attention, and we get busy in our own lives doing our own thing, and then we hear about a few things, but there's so much going on. Gus probably runs into some of these youths, and we really don't want to lose a generation, and it's easy to do. And these kids today are dealing with so much stuff. And when you listen to your kids and you hear about their friends and what goes on at school, it's kind of mind-blowing at times. And really, you look at the number of kids that are just at the senior high, the population that shows up there every day are the size of some of the small towns that we have in Nebraska. Can you imagine an entire town that was functioning like that? And I'm not saying all the kids are that way, but you know, those are their classmates, and they hear about those things, and they know about those things. And so for all the people that you have, the young adults that you have, there's probably twice as many that you never even see that are under the radar that are dealing with the same stuff. So this is an excellent program, all the resources that are out there, and you know, that's our future in this community, in our country, is our youth, and I think as much as we can invest into those kiddos, the better off we are.
I completely agree. I think that within the past few years, our mental health diagnosis have went up, behavior disorders, things that the schools deal with that they've never dealt with before. And so I think that we just do what we can.
One of the biggest things I'll say is dealing with Christina's programming is coordinating. You know, when I first got up, there are more programs and people out here that are a great deal of expertise, and sometimes it gets slipped behind the door, so to speak, and we're not aware of it. And largely through coordination with the juvenile justice system and law enforcement, everybody working together, we can keep people out of the court system, which, you know, that's what I like to do, particularly with the juveniles. And the diversion thing, we may have to look at our qualifications, and, you know, most of the time you have to have a clean record to get into diversion. And I try and, you know, if you got one speeding ticket, I will a lot of times make an allowance for that. But that's an excellent program. And a lot of our kids, what Matt's talking about there at school, what we find, whether it's truancy or some of these I call them infractions and minor things. A lot of this stuff is still based on what happens at home.
And we absolutely talk about it.
So we kind of deal with the problems. We try to identify them and get services in before we have arrests and before the sheriff and the chief have to do something. And that's the mind frame now. It doesn't always work. The paper sometimes brings it cases to my attention before I know about them, and then we have to react to them. But again, I think it's working. It's a lot of good people that do work, and Christina's one of those.
Thank you. That is the whole premise behind this particular grant, is to keep kids out of the juvenile justice system. And so
part of it is you can see some small results now, but later on in life is when these results, if you didn't have this program, that's when they'd really show up.
So. Absolutely. And our adult diversion program is much the same type of people. I have a lot of MIP offenders, minor in possession, and those kids are just, you know, most of them are just, thought they could get away with it, you know, that type of thing. And they're not serious, hardened criminals by any means. And we want to keep those kids out of the juvenile justice system.
We're fortunate that we can get a grant like this or whatever and have this type of funding to help.
Thank you.
Thank you. Did we vote on this?
Not yet.
We had a motion, didn't we?
Mm-hmm. Bowman and Lytle.
We had a motion by Matt and a second by Gary to approve this grant application. Any more comments? Vote. 7-0 in favor. And Chris, I signed them already, so I don't know if you each get one or how that happens or whatever. So
you have one for me? Okay.
All right. Thank you. I guess, does anybody else have anything else? This is our agenda. We will be having a closed session again on our part of it's on our Beatrice 6 litigation update and stuff. We will be coming out of that, and we do have a contract to see if we will approve or disapprove for additional legal counsel. Then we have a possibility of hiring for that. I don't know how long we'll go in the closed session or whatever, but can't tell you for sure, but we will have that, as you see on the agenda there later. So,
dollars are in the tourism.
You know, if we did lower that speed limit on the Odell Blacktop, though, it would push the traffic back to the state road at 45 miles an hour. It would still save our road.
Yeah.
I like that idea.
Don't leave, then.
We've got to take a five-minute break before we go into closed session, I guess. We're not, regardless of our closed session.
See, we can play
let's
that
take
game
a five-minute break. We'll come back at 9:33 on the clock. We'll take a five-minute break.
Take a thing.
And then... Okay.
It's a regular political management.
Oh, we ain't got anybody in here.
Yeah, we can't.
Oh, we got 1, 2, 3, 4.
And
okay.
Five. And carry it over.
Okay, let's go.
We are back in session at 9:41 on the clock.
What?
And, hey, I'll entertain him.
We're not in close. We're not in close
session. We're not in closed session yet.
We're not in closed yet.
But I'll entertain a motion to go into closed session necessary for protection of the public interest or for protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual. And we are covering two things for sure. One is personnel, and another one will be the after six litigation update and the possibility of coming out and entering into an additional contract.
Motions.
Need a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Tiemann and seconded by Lytle. Vote. 6 in favor with Bauman voting against.
Darn Bauman.
Oh, that guy.
At 9:42 on the clock. Now we're in close
now
session.
Boss?
Now, boss, yes.
Give me a couple.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
John.
Give him the Doug.
Move, we come out of closed session at 11:15.
Give those to Scott.
Motion by Gary, by Lytle, and a second by Tiemann to come out of closed session at 11:15. Vote.
Oh, geez, you guys.
I had some help with that one.
6 in favor, and Bauman voting against.
He didn't have enough to go there.
He didn't want to go in either.
Let the record know he didn't have
what we've had a discussion in our closed session was a contract that we've been visiting some with Dave Domina from the Domina Law Group, and he has a proposal, a contract for us here, for what he's proposing to do for us as we go forward and what his fees are. And we have been discussing that. So at this time, I'll entertain a motion to approve or not approve the contract with Dave Domina and his law firm.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Lytle and seconded by Juergens to approve. Any more discussion? Vote.
Well, Teeman. Come back in here.
Hold on until he gets back, because this is a...
Oh, wait. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a big deal.
Where'd he go? He say anything where he went?
I'm assuming he went to the...
To the restroom, I would guess. He didn't say, but did you notice what a bright light Lytle is?
Yeah, no, yes. Indeed.
Yeah, not just a regular, but a bright light.
I'm glad somebody else noticed how bright of a light I am.
I usually see that just before you die, don't you?
Now, you know what I took? Ooh. You know what I took that to mean is Gary don't have the Christmas spirit. He's got red but no green.
Are you ready to vote now?
You're back.
Okay, voted. Now you're here.
We had a motion by Lytle and a second by Juergens to approve the contract with Dave Domina and his law group. Voting, and when we voted the first time, yours was, we weren't sure how you wanted to vote. So we'll go ahead and vote now. 7-0 in favor.
Thank you for waiting for me.
Yeah, thanks for leaving.
Yeah.
How come Gary doesn't have a green light?
His green bird.
We discussed that while you were gone.
He's
our bright light.
I've been talking about. Yeah.
Oh, I look up there and it's just a shining. Is that the Christmas store?
One quick thing. Other thing here. Our next meeting is January the 4th, and because January the 2nd is a holiday, we will not have committee meetings on the Monday. We will have them on the Friday.
Okay. 30th. Which is the 30th of December.
December. January 4th will also be your reorganization meeting where you will be selecting your chairman and vice chairman. So that'll be our reorganization.
Don't we have a chairman?
We have a chairman.
Well, we've got to reappoint him then. So, but anyhow, that's what happens January 4th. So.
Okay. But everybody needs to try and remember that then, that we
gone for the next three Mondays, the county's closed. Is that right?
Could be.
Really, with holidays?
Sounds good.
Yep. Next, oh, yeah, every other.
Oh,
I mean.
Yeah, because of the holiday falling on Sunday.
If not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Motion by Hill, second by Team and Vote. 5 in favor with Bauman and Thiemann voting against adjourning at 11:18 on the clock.
What did we
motion
miss?
Passed.
Merry
what
Christmas
did we miss
gone.
That they want to discuss yet?
I don't know.
I still want to talk about lowering the speed limit to save the road in Terry's district.